Áldar over Ashacharda to the Sayasong Project, Lumsa Dhirni Chachan. Now, I'm a broadcaster, traditional musician, and self-confessed Seannós nerd. And in this radio series, I am on a mission to find out what songs from the Seannós tradition can tell us about life in Ireland today. As Gaelge, when we ask somebody to sing a song, we say, Abarauron, say a song. The words and the story are the most important thing. For those of you new to the Seannós song tradition, it literally means old style songs. And this is a tradition that goes back as far as we do as a people. These are songs that were composed and transmitted orally and survived through time as people adapted them to tell their own life stories. What I'm interested in, though, is to find out what they can tell us of Ireland today. This week, I'm going to meet the great Dublin poet, Stephen James Smith. But before then, I'm on my way down to Limerick, where I'm going to meet the great Caoimhe agus Séamus Ó Fláthartha, brother and sister duo, and they're going to bring me on a journey to find out more about Raftery's Anach Cúil. So, Caoimhe agus Séamus, beidh gan an teo fada, an cáil amid an eis.
So, Thomas Philahad Limnach, Thomas Dov Kriyadounda, so should not mean Misha Egg Stazard, Thomas the Caribbean Philahad, August Pin Shamus is in the Staz UL Freshen.
Yeah, in my name is UL Freshen on the school.
Okay, so this is kind of, sorry now, I'm going to have to change to English, which is not, yeah, sorry, this is for Radio 1. So I actually, I don't know if I said that to you, yeah.
Okay,
sorry, should I go Radio 1? Yeah, sorry. Should I crack the mesh in raw? I know, if you imagine of Ogla Blenel and Dr. Scotton, we were both like, God, like, we sound so thick and mirla.
You know, like, I'm going to sound like a god.
I know, yeah.
Well, now you do like singing the song.
I know, you'd be grand. Put on your best beer now, you'd be fine. But you're a long way from home.
We are, yeah. So we're from Connemara, Cantar Dos Ainní, and that's where we grew up, listening to the finest of Seannós singers and seeing the finest of dancers and hearing the finest music, yeah. But even though we're far from home, I suppose there's a bit of a second home here for traditional musicians, and Caoimhe, I'd say you can speak to this a lot as well. It's a bit of a hub for traditional music and singing and dancing and all sorts here in the World Academy in Limerick. So in fairness, there couldn't be a better setting.
For sure. It's like a second home. Like, we have tunes almost every day of the week. We just go to either the White House in Limerick or we'll go to Hurlis and we'll have tunes and songs. And yeah, it's brilliant. We have a great time here.
Jesus, hey, you do. I won't ask you any more questions about that now. We might get into dangerous territory.
No further comments.
Exactly. So tell me about learning the songs at home in the Iris Anioch, who you're older, obviously, Seamus, so
yeah.
You taught her everything she knows.
Oh, I'd like to say that I did, but no, unfortunately not. Yeah, we were absolutely spoiled when it came to where we grew up. And I think that's only something we've really started to realise in the last few years. So starting off in school, we would have Bríosún Mhuir Chiaráin, who's 3-time Corona Raidió the winner, and also a very well-decorated song in other regards, and tours, and has toured very extensively. But she would have taught us a lot of the songs as part of our schooling. Like, so we had her as a primary school teacher. We did our maths, we did our Irish, we did our English, and then we'd have an hour of learning songs or learning about the lyrics or the melodies and stuff like that.
Wow, that's outrageous. In school?
Yeah.
God, you were blessed.
We thought that was normal. We thought that was an everyday thing that every kid got. And we slowly started to realise as we got older that that wasn't normal. So, yeah, we would have had Oran Mhuintse. I think the Oran Mhuintse, which is one of the biggest songs from Corona, I had that when I was 4 or 5.
Oh my God, other 4 or 5-year-olds singing Queens of the Bus.
Sure, no wonder we love the sad songs. Is that what we were
singing? I know, yeah. Five, like, you know? A depressed 4 or 5-year-old singing their own ancient.
Into the pub after school. So that's what we had. But yeah, like I said, I think it took me till I was about 18, 19, 20 and I started travelling elsewhere and singing these songs and people telling me, do you know how lucky you are? That's when the penny started dropping for me.
Okay.
Before that, I hadn't a clue.
Well, I'm especially interested in of Snaronson Anach Cúan. Bidigan in Chocht, and I go for the Bug Dummy Aller on Taran.
Yeah, so Anach Cúan, Kangana, Horan, a smooler, Ross, the OES, Kentor, Irhan, the Nahedan. It's one of the biggest songs from the west of Ireland, from County Galway. And I always get a bit of mixed reaction to this. I usually say from East Galway because we're so far west, but apparently it's not considered East Galway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Anna Down in Galway, Anach Cúan, and tells the story of a tragedy, a boating tragedy that happened there back in 1828, I think it was, where 31, and people might correct me on my figures again, but this is what I've been told, 31 people were crossing the Corrib to go to Galway and to sell livestock. It was sheep they had in the boat. And unfortunately, one of the sheep put their feet through a rotten board that was in the boat, and the boat began to sink, and 19 men and women were killed. in the crossing. So a huge loss to the locality at the time. Even though we're not, it's not from our area, it would have been a song that we would have heard growing up a lot, because it's, in terms of geography, it's not that far away from where we were, and I suppose people would have heard about this tragedy all over the country. So it's one of the heavy hitters that we would have learned growing up as well.
Heavy being the operative word. It is a very sad song.
It is, it is.
What about Raftery, the brains behind the operation? And William Noel's got to Raftery, Cleva.
That's one of his works that I know the most about. I haven't actually looked into him more than that, which I really would like to, because I think it is my favourite Channel song, because he just tells the story so well. And when I got older, when I was singing the song, it just hit me so, so hard. So I really would like to kind of delve into to more of his work.
Yeah, like you said, one of the finest lyricists, and someone who was able to capture the emotion of the song very, very well. Because that's one of the
It's what we care about the most, I think, in the songs, is kind of trying to portray the emotion as well as we can. And I think when we kind of put harmonies to songs as well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put the emotion in so that people who wouldn't have the language and wouldn't understand what we're saying, they kind of feel what we're saying rather than hear what we're saying, kind of thing.
Yeah, and to have that material to work with, that strong poetry, that strong melody, it just makes it so much easier to arrange a song.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, the whole idea behind the Say a Song project, and asking English language writers to delve into the whole Filioch Féin na Gaeilge, because there is such a richness that you can't get unless, well, firstly, you have very good Irish, because it's such a sophisticated language. Mm-hmm. Do you know, even I now, obviously come from Munster tradition, going into a Connemara song, like, it is a challenge to try and dissect what's written there.
100%, because it's Tanga or Le A and Filioch, it's not even just a dialectal change. You're changing from colloquial language into this rich poetry. Like you said, there's phrases in there that we'd never use in everyday, even talking amongst ourselves, our parents and stuff like that. So yeah, it's definitely a language of the masters. It's something that I'd love to have. But poets and bards, they're their own beings, weren't they?
Oh, they were, definitely. Oh, Rodegan Osnadurach, Mialer, really.
Oh, Keenty, yeah. See you later.
Shin Rodegan, I thought, Dúlagamán, right? They say about a Shannon song, isn't it? That, like, it's something that you can't learn, it's something you have.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's a hard one now.
Mm.
It's a tough one for me, especially because all I've known all my life is Seamus. Like, Seamus was singing, Ronan and Cunnell, our older brothers, were singing. So I was kind of born into it. So I don't think I'm in a place to comment on it, because I was just so lucky to have that in the house growing up.
Yeah. Well, Sinn Fearing You and Rottis, really, isn't it? That's kind of the proofs in the pudding, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So maybe you could learn it as well.
Yeah. Nier and Gucha Duncha. I wouldn't say that it's exclusive, that anybody's locked outside the tradition, or that you can't engage with it on some level, but there definitely is something to be said about growing up in an area that's steeped in it, or even having it in your blood. Go chess will add thrush and mark the shah and you saying just sheer and gloom to wad rugus a thug and is not. There's a lot to be said for being born in the area and engaging with it on an everyday basis. It's an intrinsic thing, it becomes part of you as opposed to you performing it.
Mm-hmm. It's very earthy, isn't it?
Yeah. Grounds you.
Yeah. Bert Chahog Livshire, right? I mean, you're two young traditional musicians and singers, but you're also, like, what kind of a space do you go into to, do you know, like, you're up to high dough on a night out, you're having the crack, and then you're going in to sing about this big tragedy that happened. that's, you know, mentally, you have to go into a space, you know, you kind of have to become the song, don't you, when you're singing Channels.
I always remember Mom, when I was younger, being like, Cuiva, it sounds lovely, but you're not telling a story. Like, I don't feel anything when you're singing. And then I just was like, I don't understand. Like, how do I fix it? And I just kept trying. And then one day I just got it. And she was like, okay, yeah, I feel it now. But I don't know what I did any differently. I think I just pictured the story in my head, maybe. And as I got older, I kind of understood the lyrics more, and I understood the stories, and I was able to then kind of put that out there. But it took a while to kind of be able to get there.
Yeah, it comes with maturity. Like, these, they're such heavy themes. And when you're a child, like I said, when I was singing on Weech at 5, I knew the words and I knew the melodies and I was able to sing it very nicely. But I definitely didn't understand the extent of what was being said at the time either, or how powerful they were. Because, like you said there, you do have to transport yourself into a space, because you're not just representing a melody in words, you're representing people that are in songs, you're representing the time at which the songs were written, you're representing the events that are taking place. And there's so much that you have to speak to when you're singing the songs. So there's no way in the name of God that you'll be able to do that if you have your eyes open and you're staring around and drinking away at yourself. You have to pull back and kind of become vulnerable and be willing to engage with it on a deeper level. I know that sounds very overly poetic,
no,
but it's true. Yeah.
The vulnerability, that's a great word, because you are very vulnerable when you're going into that space.
It's usually one voice and everybody else. You're trying to get everybody else to shut up and listen to you. It doesn't always happen, but it is a vulnerable space.
Do you think that you're very emotionally intelligent to each other when you kind of have to go into that space together?
I don't think we're aware of it. I think it just kind of happens because we've been singing together since we were small. I almost know what he's going to do and he knows what I'm going to do in terms of like ornamentation or breath or whatever. Like, I don't think we're kind of...
It's not an active process as much as
possible. Yeah, exactly. It just just happens.
Yeah, intuition.
Yeah, intuition kind of a thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it.
Okay, lads, I'm at Rishiv Chimad the Kind to Father Rohan, so I'll ask you, will you sing us a couple of verses of Anach Cuan?
Mom just loves it. Is a father face trapped
Now, I will admit that beyond hurling and strawberries, my knowledge on Wexford is lacking. They say it is the sunny southeast, and it definitely has not disappointed today. The sun is shining and it is a perfect day for me to make the journey down here to meet my friend and one of my favourite poets, Stephen James Smith. And I want to pick his brains and find out what he made of Raftery's Anach Cuan. Stephen, tell us where we are at the minute.
So we are currently in the Wexford Art Centre here, in the centre of Wexford town, and we're in the main auditorium. And fun fact is the incredible Frederick Douglass once spoke here, the abolitionist.
God, I feel like this is a real morning of discovery for me, because I haven't spent much time in Wexford town, but I'm delighted to have the excuse to be here today.
Yeah, it's a great spot, so it is. Yeah. I'm here 3 years now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
When I think of your work, well, I have two favourite pieces, but one of them is the piece that you wrote about Dublin. So I'm wondering, is there any big epic poem coming about Wexford soon?
Well, I've written several things about Wexford. You can't help but be affected, you know, by your surroundings.
Tell me about your contact with traditional music or the Shamnos tradition prior to embarking on this mad endeavour. How familiar?
Yeah, look, it's been part of me, you know, from connecting with people like Christy Moore, like I would have had his CD, Live at the Point, I think that was 1994, I would have had that on repeat all the time, and the Dubliners and many other things. But then, growing up, I would have had my first pint in the International Bar when I was 14, you know, and sort of going there ever since.
Many, you're telling us all your secrets.
Many moons ago, I had my fake ID from the NCAD, you know. You got away with it. But, like, going there on a Sunday, my friends would be singing trad songs and Shanos, and I would have attended the Teachers Club on occasion for Angoline, and I love the way they tend to start. It's not about the quality of the singing, it's about the quality of the listening. I've gone to the night before Larry was stretched, Walsh's Bar, you know, the Cobblestone, such a great place. There's many more. And yeah, like, I go to Irish language events. I mightn't get it all, but I get enough to feel nourished by it. And if you don't go and engage, you're not going to try, it's not going to seep into you somehow. So again, the room that we're in right now, I run a mixture of music and poetry nights here. Of the 13 events, 4 of those poets have been Irish language poets. So we've had Ben McQuilcha, Kieran Yalecon, and Ciara Conway, who was another person that kind of helped me with this project, you know, Ciara with her Shanos album, Queen.
What sparked your interest in An Nach Cuan out of all the songs?
We'd obviously been kind of going backwards and forwards with a few different songs, and I was I need to be moved by something, and that's not to say that I wasn't moved by what you were sending through, but they weren't catching me in the gut enough, you know. Ciara posted me some of her poems and her album, a CD of it. I remember it was in a lovely purple, sparkly envelope. And I was like, what's this? And I think I was a little bit down at the time as well. Yeah. And, you know, you get this in the door and you go, what's this all about? And I remember listening to it and, like, just being blown away. It was obviously a gift, but it was a gift from the gods, because it just opened up this project for me. So I put the album on my phone and went wandering around listening to the album. The truth is, as well, I said I was maybe a fraction down at the time, and I was microdosing.
Okay.
But along with the microdosing, I bought a little bit more. Not too much more, but a little bit more. And I took a little bit of these mushrooms, and I was wandering around Wexford Town, and I was sitting outside a cafe and trying to write something and listen. And this song just really moved me to tears. Again, unfortunately, I couldn't make it all out. But because it moved me so much, I went, OK, I'll look up what's this mean. And then when I was reading it, I was like, OK, yeah, this connects with me, because where I am, I can see the Slaney River out my window, and I have a little harbour in front of me called Safe Harbour, and there's fishermen there each day. And I was just thinking of those people. I think it was 22 people in the passing. Mm. So that's how I kind of got into it, as it were.
The story of An Nach Cuan and all those similarities that you're drawing between your own surroundings and stuff.
Yeah.
What was your overwhelming feeling when writing the piece? Because when I heard it first, like, there's so much empathy I felt for ourselves and for other people and for life. And, of course, this is a story of such a tragic mass drowning.
I did struggle with the writing a little bit. I kind of knew roughly what I wanted to say, but then I struggled with the structure. And initially it was like a hand-on, so like the last word of a line was the first word of the next line, and I was trying to do it like a relay. And then I put a bit of a refrain in it, and I was thinking of other influences, and even I was thinking of Sinead O'Connor, who had passed in between all of this, and in the refrain, that's her words, the opening... To say what you feel is to dig your own grave. Okay, that really was resonating with me. So I kind of followed on from that in the refrain to try and give voice to Sinead in some fashion. I don't know if this makes sense, but it does to me.
Yeah.
Artists, well, my favourite artists are quite empathetic people. But like, even like the last words, like, you know, you're just trying to imagine what would they be saying? What are they pondering in those moments, or what advice would they hand on to us?
God, it's a fantastic piece of poetry. I think you'd be hard not to be moved by this piece. Do you, as a modern poet now, it's very clear that you have a lot of contact with the tradition and with your surroundings. Do you feel like the oral tradition has a lot to say still that's relevant to our lives?
When people emote things in the way that you get at on Gowleen, where they, as I said, it's not about the quality of the singing, about the quality of the listening, but that's not to diminish the singers because they put so much heart into it. And I'd much rather somebody singing imperfectly but meaning it. And I think that's what you'll find when somebody sings Shanos, like, they mean it, you know, and it gives you access to a different pace, to slow down, to engage. Again, empathy, you mentioned, to open up to that. It sounds a bit mystical and all, but maybe it is a bit mystical. Like, you know, and what harm? Like, you know, what harm? Isn't that a magic thing that that Shanos and the oral tradition allows us back to that space and away from the fast pace of, you know, and it's all well, because we're both on the old TikToks or whatever, you know what I mean? All that crap. But like, it brings us back to that other realm. Mm. And that's what poetry does for me. That's what art can do for you. And, you know, that's what the Shanos tradition. And that's why I tend to gravitate towards these things. Because, as I say, it wasn't maybe part of my youth, but it's, I found value in it. Not that it's a transactional thing, but it's given me access to this mysticism that I needed, I guess.
I think that's a lovely note to end on, Stephen, what you were saying. The oral tradition and also what we can create out of them brings us into a liminal space. So let's go into your liminal space now. Eistemidanish, the last words.
To say what you feel is to dig your own grave. Fear will disappear in the presence of the brave. The poet's last words were, don't be afraid. Kindness can't be said, it can only be prayed. We can't lament forever, we must live for the dead. Upon reflection, their last words echo, what might they have said? Be blessed for the christening and ready for the wake. Get dressed for the wedding, be braced for the break. There's a difference between solitude and loneliness. Love, as elusive as a shadow at noon, reminds us we'll be gone soon. Cultivation needs to comprehension. Understand that creativity runs like a river. In time, learn to cradle life's difficulties. It's hard to realize there's no them, only a mess of us. If I were us, which I can't help but be, I'd aim for forgiveness. We were born for movement. Despite ourselves, we move together. Selflessness is strenuous, but service is the answer. Answer this: what's desire? Wanting is exhausting. When can we rest? Resting is a gentle thing, and things are incomprehensible, but know this: this will end without you. To say what you feel is to dig your own grave. Fear will disappear in the presence of the brave. The poet's last words were, don't be afraid. Kindness can't be said, it can only be prayed. Your part, no matter how small, is yours to play. Play your part. Can we change everything? Everything will be okay to change and more. Change then is not just possible, but inevitable. Hollow eulogies insult the truth. Truth isn't empirical in the way laughter is. Praise your progress. Let's set sail. The unknown awaits. Should we drown? There'll be a memorial, remembrance, and a poet will speak of honest mistakes, some trivial. others bearing a heavier cost. Lifeboats depart, but rescuing the lost depends on the waves. These could be words echoing from watery graves. Graves are for the living. Living means breath. Breath becomes spectral when you're close to death. No failures, only endeavors. Savor your body. A body of work is a legacy attesting to hard work. Hard labor doesn't indicate intelligence. Even a fool can have happiness. Happiness, as trite as it might sound, is found within.
Binnigwiv Stephen James Smith Lena Lagan the Rafteries Anoch Cuan is Mishadirni Rockon, and the Say a Song project was produced by Donna Productions for RTE Radio 1 and was supported by Commission the Man. You can listen back to this programme and all other programmes from the series on the RTE Radio app. Bealing and Tachtan Shuing when I'll meet Kiernie agus Seamus agus Sheila O'Mungon from the North Mayo Gaeltacht as we discuss Cuairt Mhaille Nua.
This programme was presented and produced by Dhearnaí Chlacán and edited by Fergal Sachs in Radio na Liffa. Arnavuinu e Commission na Man leis an táille cadúnais teilifíse.